This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. You ever feel confused by unforeseen circumstances and long for peace to accept those challenges and move on? Well, most of us feel that way from time to time as difficult days arise. Stay with us today as we learn how one special day in Jesus' life can help us find lasting peace even as we face trials of all kinds.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather around your holy word this day, needing to hear your word of truth once again. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, enlighten and sanctify our hearts and our minds with the good news of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to take a look at Luke's version of the Palm Sunday story, chapter 19, verse 29. When Jesus had come near Bethage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why are you untying it? Just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying this donkey?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, the people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' But he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you've made it a den of robbers." After that, every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. Here ends the reading. Dear friends, Linda has a life that is just full of all kinds of regrets. She's made some painful choices along the way. She wound up one day pregnant, decided she couldn't be a mom, and had an abortion. And to this very day, whenever she sees a newborn, it just makes her sick within. And those old tapes play. My friend Bob is on a cancer journey. He had never realized how sick a person could get from chemotherapy. But in spite of the sickness, what causes him to really have some anguish in his life is wondering, what's going to happen to me when I die? He's not sure. He reasons, well, I've tried to live a good life. I think things are okay between myself and my maker. But still, he's wrestling with that. Ron is experiencing a loneliness and a loss that he just cannot seemed to get past. His wife of 30-odd years passed away not too long ago. And he can't sleep, and he can't focus, and he can't get started. And he said, I just feel like I'm running around in circles. I get up, I leave the house, I can't be away very long, and I have to come back to the house, but I'm so lonely. Stan describes himself as a jigsaw puzzle missing a few pieces. He senses an incompleteness in his life, like something's missing, out of sync. Seems like he has everything he could want, but still, there is something missing. These things I've described for you, in these people, there's one common denominator. They all have a disturbance deep within, and they're needing some peace in their lives. So what do these things I've described have to do with Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem? Well, it has everything to do with it. First of all, note the crowd's words when Jesus rode into town. Peace in heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Almost an echo of the angels announcing the birth of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Of course, this crowd had a different sort of peace in mind as they cried out peace. They were looking more for a political peace, another King David of sorts that from the golden years when they were a world power, who could drive the Romans out and make things right again and establish this kingdom of Israel as a world power once again. Look at the blankets and the coats on the road as he rode down the Kidron Valley Road and notice their praises, something that would be said of a new conquering king. Peace they were looking for. Where did they get this? Well, Jesus staged it all to make a point. As he rode into town in that donkey that he had arranged ahead of time to have, where he was preaching a sermon without saying a word, he was reminding the people of a prophecy in Zechariah, where the long-awaited Savior King would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the donkey was a symbol of peace. When he was told to be quiet by the leaders of the religious establishment, he responded with a prophecy, again from the Old Testament, about the stones. It was a warning of what's to come. He's claiming his authority. Jerusalem's going to be torn down. Those are words of judgment on Jerusalem. In fact, he gets to that place where he says while he's weeping, if only you knew what made for peace. You're so confused. And then he challenged the system. He takes it on just like a king who rides into a new community and takes over the local in the Old Testament, the kings would come in and take over the Jerusalem temple and cleanse it of any desecration that was going on there so there could be a proper worship again. Here we see Jesus acting that role out, cleansing the temple, telling them, you're corrupt, you've turned this into a den of robbers. And then he began to teach them with authority the things of God, the things that really make for peace. And what was the response on the part of those that didn't want to hear him? You're disturbing the peace, Jesus. Tell your followers to be quiet. There was misunderstanding as well. As the crowd said, we have a king, and he's going to go to battle for us and overthrow our oppressors and give us peace. His teaching upset those that were opposed to him so much they decided, he's causing too much trouble. We need to eliminate him for the sake of the public peace as well as our own peace. Those Romans are not going to put up with his teaching about how he's some sort of a king. They're going to shut this temple down on us. And so they began to plan, how do we get rid of Jesus? And within a few days, they did, didn't they? It all came to an unpeaceful conclusion on Friday. that came and broke into his peace in the garden. He didn't fight back. He was nonviolent. They put him before a court where he was found guilty and then taken away and nailed to a cross with a sign over his head which read, King of the Jews. And as the opposition walked away that day, they said, well, now we can get back to peace. A nice routine. He's out of the way. But little did they know that on that cross, our real enemies, not the Romans, not political enemies, were being taken on. Jesus was carrying out his heavenly Father's plan to defeat the enemies of sin and death and the power of Satan. They would not have the last word. In fact, he rose on Sunday, and he met those disciples in an upper room. And what was the first word to come from his mouth, according to John's gospel? Peace. And then he showed them his hands and his feet and his sides, and again he said, peace. And they remembered how the night before he was crucified, he told them, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give. The peace that Jesus Christ came and disturbed the peace for in Jerusalem that day was not peace and quiet. It's a different sort of peace. Jesus disturbed the peace in order to give us his peace. It turns out, he would go on to explain to the disciples and to those that followed, that all this was done for your peace. I disturbed the peace to give you my peace. Peace with God. So that Linda could receive forgiveness for her sins and peace within and peace with God. So that Ron could have the peace of God as he goes through grieving over his beloved wife, Joan, trying to put his life back together. So that Stan could experience that peace which completes the puzzle when Christ steps into a life and begins to put things into perspective again as to what's really important. And that kind of peace that Bob, with his chemotherapy, as he looks at death, is so needing. He gives the peace of knowing that Christ has taken care of everything. He's prepared a place for Bob and for everyone who places their trust in him, a place in his Father's house. The Prince of Peace arrived that day in Jerusalem. But what about today? What's he want from us? What's he looking for? We claim he's the risen one who still is knocking on doors of people's hearts, still in communities, looking for a hearing, looking for acceptance. What does he want? He wants to give you his peace, the peace that only he gives. How does one receive that peace? First, by turning yourself over to him in surrender to his care and his leadership, to placing your absolute trust in all that he's done for you. He doesn't promise to prevent the hurts that come from living in this broken world. He doesn't offer peace and quiet for your lives. He offers you peace in all circumstances, the peace of his presence and his guidance and his promises. Not only does he want us to surrender and to receive that peace, but he invites us to copy him. A disciple copies the master. What did Jesus do the night before he was crucified? We find him in a garden, praying, garnering all the peace within that he would need to take on the enemies that he would face that evening and into the next day at the cross. And the Apostle Paul discovered, as we read in Philippians, that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. Jesus wants us to not only surrender and copy, emulate his prayer life, he wants us to trust him enough to actually do what he says, to believe that he actually does know what makes life work. That when he tells us to forgive our enemies, there's great wisdom in knowing that as we forgive, we're letting go of the bitterness that's within us that's stopping us from having peace, heavenly peace. There's wisdom in turning the other cheek after someone has taken a swat at you. Jesus says, trust me, trust my words enough to do what I direct you to do so that you can have the peace that I have come to give to you. The Prince of Peace, we call him, has arrived in this world. He rode into Jerusalem that day, and he really shook things up and disturbed the peace. Why? So that you and I could have and receive his everlasting peace. Peace to you this day. The peace of Jesus Christ. May it be in your hearts and in your minds as you place your trust and your obedience into his hands. Amen.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Let's pray. Lord, breathe your peace into us. We thank you, Lord, for disturbing the peace in this world in the way it was in order to bring eternal peace to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ, the Prince of Peace, go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has filled you with the joy of knowing that we can have a peace that passes all understanding, a heavenly peace. We extend a sincere thank you to each of our listeners who have sent a charitable contribution this year. Your gifts enable us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for that we are truly grateful. If you're able to do so, please consider a tax-deductible donation to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We invite you to visit our website, christiancrusaders.org, where you can find hundreds of archived sermons, a daily devotion, and much more. Our website is also an excellent tool to share with others who need an uplifting message. Please visit us online anytime at christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You may also call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We're pleased you chose to listen today and invite you to tune in every Sunday for worship with us. Conducting today's service was our associate speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.